This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Samich is coming up in an hour. We've got stakes races from Saratoga. Going to make you some money on the track. Stuart Durst is coming up at the bottom of the hour with some baseball. We've got family plays, so plenty of plays coming up for you here on the program. Now, I'll be straight up. The last month, as a 46-year-old single man, I don't miss much. I missed my dog when I was away, and I missed our next guest. He's my friend. He's Thomas Gable. He is the director of the race and sports book at the Borgata. How you been, Thomas?
I've been well, Patrick. First day back for you?
Yes, sir. First day back from a little break. Yes.
Very good. It's my first day back from vacation as well today. Now, I don't get to take a month off like you, but I did take a week off.
He took a month and a day, Thomas. He took a month and one day. Let's get it
a
right.
Month. You're true. That's right. It's August 2nd. Why is that, Patrick? Why did you take that extra day?
Let's focus on you, Thomas. You just got back from vacation. Okay. How was your week?
It was fine. Played some golf, saw some family, some friends. So it was all good. But no, welcome back to you, and hope you had a nice restful month there. And obviously, coming back just as football is getting underway, and we've weathered the month of July here with baseball, and having the Olympics helped a little bit there towards the end of the month. So, it's been, as you know, dog days of summer, it's a little bit slow in the sports betting world. So it's a nice thing when Del Mar starts up and Saratoga starts up in the racing world, and you can just get some more people in and excited about some things.
Yep, absolutely. Progressive guest line, Thomas Gable joins us here on Sharp Money, our good friend over at the Borgata, the best property in Atlantic City on the East Coast, period, full stop. Okay, so let's start with the Olympics and talk about the wagering there at the Borgata. What's been getting hit? Has it been a good handle?
Well, the handle that's been good are on the sports that I think you would probably expect, because the bettors are familiar with the players who are involved, so i.e. basketball. Handle has been great for Olympic basketball, tennis, golf. Those sports have been very good. Soccer. The sports that we throw up that you never really get to bet any other time, like swimming, water polo, beach volleyball, the handle's a lot less because, people don't really know much about those sports. Maybe they're fun to watch every 4 years, but they don't really know anything about them. But, when you have NBA players on a lot of these teams and a lot of these different countries in Paris, the bettors know them. They're familiar with them. So they think that they can handicap those a little bit better. And that's really where the handle kind of goes and trends towards. So, the handle's been great in basketball. The handle's been great in soccer and tennis so far. And obviously the golf just got started yesterday. So obviously it's only going to be a short, 4-day event there as a normal golf tournament would be. But, you have all the big names playing a course that they just played, if they were eligible for the Ryder Cup, like 6 years ago. So there's some familiarity there and some course history there with certain players. So, it's good. It's a good diversion here for people as they get ready for football and just from the daily grind of Major League Baseball betting.
Yeah, and Thomas Gable joining us from the Borgata. You mentioned it. It was almost seminal last night with Houston and Chicago because that really represents a turning of the page, not just at the book there at the Borgata, but for sports bettors. Obviously, the NFL is king, right behind it there, mm-hmm. College football. People love to bet football. Let's talk about last night. So we go through zero up to Houston closing 2.5. You can give me maybe close 32, 33 on the total. Let's talk about the weather-shortened game and how you handled that there at the Borgata.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate break for the first preseason game where it unfortunately didn't get to 55 minutes played. And that is typically where sports books kind of draw the line there in the house rules that games must have 55 minutes of play to become official. And that didn't happen last night. So almost every bet, aside from first half bets, were refunded. At least here they were, and I'm sure in many, many spots out there in Vegas as well. Now, some books may have different house rules, so maybe some did get paid out, but all of ours, at least the full game wagers, second half wagers, those were all refunded. So you hear from the under bettors, they were quite happy with that, and then you hear from the over bettors who weren't real happy with that. But that's just the way it goes, and it's unfortunate. But listen, it's a preseason game. That's the good news, that it was a preseason game. The limits are smaller, obviously much smaller than you would be taking on a regular season game. So you have less people involved for less money. So I guess if there's a silver lining, it's that it was a preseason game.
I'm obsessed with that first half total because as we got closer to the game and the weather, Thomas, started to crystallize, did you jump up to 17 on that first half total? Now, obviously clears the 17 or 16 and a half wherever you landed, but that was a key move. Some books went 16 to 17 with that first half total, which is key.
Right. And we did go to 17 first half. And the other thing to keep in mind as we get more into the preseason now, the key numbers for preseason games are not necessarily the key numbers that you see in regular season games. So the one and the two are a lot more important come preseason than they are in the regular season. So keep that in mind for all the bettors out there.
Good point. Now, the new kickoff rules. I was texting with Fezzik, a pro, earlier today. He's going to talk about it on the program on Monday, how pros are attacking that. I don't expect you to have an idea of how to grasp this yet because it's so new. We saw it one game, and I think special teams coordinators are going to keep under wraps what they're going to do until the regular season. Mm-hmm. But have there been conversations behind the book about these new kickoff rules?
Some, but again, like you said, it's, I think a lot of teams are going to play this kind of close to the vest. We're not going to see much in preseason as far as what teams are really going to do. I'm sure the pros like Fezzik that are out there, they probably already have this calculated out and, have an idea of how it's going to play out. But obviously, you're going to need data on it as well to really get this number dialed in as to what it's truly worth. We'll see. One preseason game doesn't really do much for us other than seeing actually what it kind of looks like. But again, I think you bring up a good point, and I think it's very true. I don't know really what you're going to see from teams, special teams in the preseason. I think they're pretty much going to play close to the vest.
It's interesting, Thomas, and the sports legalization only for the past, 5-6 years. But what fascinates me is when I was coming up, a lot of really sharp bettors had opportunities to profit in preseason football. But a lot has changed.
Yeah.
Like the McVay approach, where he just literally doesn't play starters. There has been a sea change as far as, I think, the profitability and the variance as far as the preseason. Have you noticed any differences in betting amongst the sharps in the preseason?
Yeah, I think sharps still look to get involved where they can find an edge, whether that's in preseason. I think, when you and I started betting, obviously the biggest change has been social media, where there's a lot of information about teams now that's right at your fingertips, whereas before, you would have to do some extra work, but you would get rewarded for it by finding those newspaper reports from local reporters and, what coaches are saying going into games. It was a lot tougher to get that information. Books were much slower to react. So you could get ahead of a lot of preseason, before the age of social media and Twitter and X, and where everything is kind of right at your fingertips. And same with the sports books. Obviously, we also have that same information and we can get it very quickly. So just a different time period. some of that, you know, it's always going to be a race for information in this game, as you know. That's never going to change. But it was, to me, I think the sharps and people who were looking for an edge back before social media, I mean, you had to do more work, but I think you could also get bigger rewards because you could certainly get out ahead of things.
100%. Okay, just about a minute left. Now, before I left for July, there was a rumor you were coming to town and you were going to be in person judging Palm versus the big guy. Where does that stand?
Yeah, I mean, listen, is Mike Palm going to be on this coming Wednesday?
Absolutely. I believe he is going to be on next Wednesday. Absolutely.
Okay. So then, yes, I will. I'm actually flying in Tuesday morning, so I will make it a point to get over to the D by his appearance time on Wednesday.
Yes.
And you can forward me any questions in advance so I'm prepared, so I know what to expect here. And I will be there. I'll be there as a second judge.
Hell yes, TG. Well, listen, I hope you had a great vacation. You deserve it more than anybody. Of course, the Borgata Race and Sportsbook Director, Thomas Gable. We look forward to another great football season with you. It's great to hear your voice, my friend. And we'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it. And Dustin, I mean, I hope this is the start of maybe a comeback here against Palm.
TG, it's the first time a scale's ever been tipped in my favor, at least as far as this contest goes.
That's not a bad line. He's back, people. TG, thank you. We'll talk to you. We'll see you in person next week there at the D. Progressive Guest Line brought you Thomas. We've got some family plays, and we have the Jays Yanks on the other side. We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, our 2024 VSIN College Football Betting Guide is your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season, including previews of all 134 teams and preseason top 25 power ratings, proving betting systems. Of course, you can sign up today. Now, again, if you sign up, you also get the NFL Betting Guide. The NFL Betting Guide has been absolutely passed around and people are lauding it, and the College Football Guide the same. So if you sign up, you get VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video exclusive data like our betting splits, very important. See all of our subscription options at vsin.com/subscribe and pick the plan that works best for you. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Got you back here, Sharp Money. Of course, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. It feels good to be back. We can take a deep breath. First off, great to hear from Thomas Gable, part of the family. We're hearing from a lot of you, and we do call you the family, over at sharpmoney@vsin.com, including our Sharp Money Survivor. Maybe, I think if we're being fair, outside of Samich, maybe the smartest friend of the show, that's Nish Gandhi.
Yeah, well,
who's
smart,
a doctor.
So Steve Fezzik's very smart, but not normal. Nish is smart and normal. I think that's important to clarify here. The most normal human on the that we have on the show. Yeah.
Fezzik, professional handicapper who we've known for 10 plus years. He's a freak, but he's very bright.
Yes.
But he's super psycho.
Yes.
But you have to be super psycho to be 1% of the people on the planet that make a living doing this. So he's a little bit of a different cat. Nish is just like a normal person that happens to like the show, and we like him, and he's the Sharp Money Survivor leader. And he's got a great kid that runs his little YouTube channel talking about video games.
Yeah, also, for those that may not know, Sharp Money Survivor is a contest where you can win a combined $550 from the pockets of Patrick and myself. Most of it coming from Patrick's pocket, not me, because I have some issues.
Thank you.
But what I would say is we are opening things back up, sharpmoney@vsin.com. You want to get in? We're continuing the contest. Can you beat Nish? Nish went 5 in a row, crossed over into a weekend. You make one pick a day. You submit a video. Win or lose, move on if you win, lose or die. That's where the situation stands there, and the winner wins $550.
It's a good job by you, sharpmoney@vsin.com, and just say hello, because it is nice to be back. At Dustin Sweetelson on Twitter, we're at The Rap Radio on Twitter as well, if you'd like to hit us up. Feels good to be back, honestly. I'm thrilled. This is the most excited coming back from vacation I've been. And I generally don't get into the Hall of Fame game, but it was almost ominous or I don't know. There was like some serendipitous vibes here in Los Angeles yesterday because it was cold. It was like in the 60s out of nowhere, the day before 80s, 60s, and we just happened to have football on television. So you could almost smell it in the air. Now, I did happen to check out the Las Vegas weather, and it appears you're tipping around 106,
yeah,
which is a little bit of a different vibe. But you can turn up the air conditioning. It can always be cold.
No, we're still rocking the dry fit underwear here. It's going to be a while. Like, I'm not messing around with cotton over here. I'm not dealing with that right here. It's just a little too warm for that. But to your point about the football, I was in between. I didn't know if I was excited or not. And then I turned the game on, and there was actually good quarterback play in a preseason game, and there was scoring, and there was offense. They were moving the ball down the field, and I got into it, and I was excited. And then, of course, everything was cut short.
You know what it was? I'm not a drug guy, so I'll be careful here. But we all have proclivities. We all have addictions. And just hearing Buck and Aikman,
yeah,
it's like heroin. I'm sucked right back in. It was just like, all right, you got me. You know, the NFL, go ahead, inject me, because until February, I'm yours.
Well,
you are the white whale.
I think that's an important note.
You are
as well,
Walter White.
Because, look, Thursdays are now, they're busy. And for me, that's an issue. Thursday was a prime date night. You don't want to give up a Friday on a first date. You don't want to give up a Saturday. Happy to give up a Thursday. Well, pretty soon I'm going to lose Saturday. And I'm going to lose Sunday. And I'm going to lose Monday. I'm thinking just going to have to delete all the dating apps, unfortunately.
Pretending like you've been on dates on Thursday was an interesting flex and also a lie.
Pretending I've been on any dates is honestly a lie right now.
We talked for like 3 hours on the phone last night, and by the last time I checked on the calendar, that was Thursday. So unless I was your date. Now, along with coming back, you mentioned Sharp Money Survivor. We've got all our regulars coming back. Palm's going to be back. Mike Randall's going to be back. Samich is coming up in 40 minutes with some stakes races at Saratoga. Aaron Halterman is going to be back. But also the family and the plays. Sharp Money, what do? We give you a million plays a day, and we're going to go ahead and start it off here, big guy.
Yeah, look, John Bowman was sending me family plays when we were off. He was like, I just want to get this play in. So while on vacation, I'm logging in to put picks on the picks page for our guy, John Bowman. You know him, Baseball with Bowman on Twitter at JohnBowman11. Former Blue Jay scout, also worked down at Tulane. Let's not get into their football program and the transitions there. But John Bowman, super sharp on baseball, Major League Baseball, and he's got a Sharp Money family play for you today.
Sharp Money family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? John Bowman here with Baseball with Bowman, and I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play of the day. We're going to go to the Yankees game. We like the Yankees on the money line, minus 160 against the Blue Jays. Marcus Stroman against Kevin Gausman. Marcus Stroman struggled a bit more lately. Kevin Gausman's been pitching well, but this play is mainly on the Yankees. The Yankees are red hot right now. They're a very streaky team in the first place. Their bullpen has been solid, but the Blue Jays have sold off everyone. The Blue Jays don't have nearly as many pieces as they did. The Yankees have won 5 in a row. I like them to make it 6 in a row, even with the juice today.
Okay, Bowman on the Yankees is going to lay a little bit of a price. Like you said, it's a little juicy. However, the Yankees tied with Baltimore in the AL East record-wise. 4.5 up in the wild card, big guy. 5-game win streak just swept Philly in Philly. So that's where we stand right now with the Yankees. The Jays just lost 3 of 4 at Baltimore.
Yeah, you know what's really annoying about the Yankees is it felt like a lull, and while you were away over the last, like, 10 days, a very trendy bet to talk about was Yankees to miss the playoffs at 17-1. Well, then they traded for Jazz Chisholm, and what's really annoying about the New York Yankees, it's fun when they're gross, ugly, and boring. I can't stand it when they're fun. And Jazz Chisholm is fun wherever you put him. He can hit in like 2 or 3 different spots in the lineup. He has more power than people think, as he's shown so far. And through 4 games as a New York Yankee, Jazz Chisholm is 7 of 20, 4 ding-dongs, 8 ribbies, 6 runs, 1 stolen base. And he brings a level of fun to this organization. Kevin Gausman, though, Kevin Gausman's been bad. Three starts against the Yankees this year, Patrick. A 10.97 ERA in just 10 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's been a little bit better of late over his last five, but this is not the Kevin Gausman we think we're getting in name value. If I was going to look at anything in this game, I would go on the over 9.95.
Respect what you said about Chisholm, because the vibes are immaculate. It is Jazz Chisholm. He'll come back to earth. He's fine. He's not what he's shown since he got the pinstripes. So just be fair.
No, be fair. No. Hey, look, he's still a 250, 260 hitter, but he's 20-20. He's electric. They can put him in a bunch of different spots in the field. And, like, Yankee Stadium, there's no point in having righties in that lineup. Just do not stack the lineup with lefties and just dead pull the ball Curtis Granderson style.
Yeah, that porch is short.
Yeah, hot take.
Let's sneak in. Yeah, it is a hot take. Let's sneak in one more family play before we get to Stewart. Go ahead.
All right, Tyler Shoemaker, College Football Betting Guide's out now. A little taste for you to go sign up and get some, because Tyler Shoemaker is going to give you one of his plays from the TSHU Index and from the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, available at VSiN.com right now. Here he is, Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN.com, Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money? It's Tyler Shoemaker from VSiN.com. Today, my best college football win total of the season. I'm going SMU Mustangs over 8 wins. TSI projects them at about 8.9 wins, so their most likely win total this year is going to be 9. That's about a 27% edge. The over is juiced to minus 135. I don't mind. The probability still works out. I've got them favored on average this season by about 11 points per game, and their average opponent power rating is minus 2.2. So very weak schedule, very good team coming back, quarterback Preston Stone, coach Rhett Lashley, ready to take the Mustangs to the next level in the ACC.
Ashley's a stud. Over on the Mustangs, Tyler Shoemaker over at VSiN.com does an amazing job. You're smiling. You've got that S smile on your face. Why?
Well, SMU's got cash, and they're allowed to legally throw it around this time. So I think they're a fascinating addition to the ACC. We're going to talk about Stanford and Cal not fitting in. SMU, unfortunately for a lot of the other teams in this league, is going to fit in very quickly.
Okay, lots to do. We'll get into some more of the baseball, full slate on the diamond tonight. But coming up next, Stuart Durst. You know him, you love him. He's been on the show a ton. He's going to have a ton of plays. The kid does his research. We love him. And then at the top of the hour, it's going to be great to have Samich back. Mike Samich returns, of course, VSiN host and professional bettor himself. He's got a couple of stakes races going while he's on the air with us over at Saratoga. So looking forward to talking to Samo Bomb. When we return, our buddy Stuart Durst, live downtown Las Vegas at the D. This is Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you had a nice July. It's time to get serious as we turn the page. Hall of Fame game last night, weather shortened. But again, it just felt nice to have some live bullets as far as football. As we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. He is joined by our buddy, and I would say over the past 6 months, Stuart Durst has become a big part of the program, and for good reason. Based out of the DMV, you can find him. He's a sports betting analyst at Monotone Football. But his approach, and it's not just Dustin about giving picks, he's constantly explaining his process, which is we constantly hear people want to hear the process, hear how he comes about his bets, regardless of sport. And so Stuart's become a staple on the show, and we're happy to have him. Big guy, anything you want to add to that before we introduce the flow?
Yeah, he's always got good creative angles. It's not just blind analytics. There's always like a game situation element to it, but also he's one of the few guys in the market that's super sharp across multiple sports. I mean, he bets basketball, he bets football, bets baseball, and there's just not a lot of people who can do that across the board all year round, and he's great at it.
Okay, so not a lot to live up to. It's quite an introduction, Mr. Durst, and we welcome you. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm super happy to be in Vegas. Haven't been here in a while, honestly, so it's great to be here live in person. Like you said, we've been doing the Zoom calls for a while. That's a lot of fun, but it's good to, you know, put faces to names and, you know, wrap it all in person.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and I like to get backstory. I like people's journey before we delve into the picks today, Stuart, so let's do that, and we'll just start. You know, you're younger than us. And what I notice is a lot of the young bettors are so proficient with props. DC, let's talk about the state of betting in the DMV. Why don't we start there and your introduction to sports betting?
Yeah, no problem. DC is a blessing for me because you only had to be 18 to start sports betting legally. And luckily for me, my interests were peaked at about 16, right? So I was good to go. Most states you have to wait to 21. I'm only 23 right now. So I got a little bit of a head start being over in DC. And the way I got into sports betting was just as funny. I started out writing about Oscars betting. That's right, the Oscars. I know monotone football is the name. I love writing about football, but I kind of found this weird niche. I love movie trivia, right? And I started getting really into it, and I realized you can bet on who wins these awards. And these markets are not sharp whatsoever. Even now, like 5 years later, they're still not sharp at all. So that really kind of piqued my interest. I got in with the guys over at Vegas Insider, and it's been going great ever since.
So it starts with, wow, that's fascinating. There certainly is a market there for Oscars betting. But may I ask, how'd you come about that market?
Yeah, I was, shout out Pat Mayo. He's one of the goats of the fantasy football world. He did an Oscars preview show, and he had the odds up there. And I was like, this is crazy. All of these are completely wrong. If you follow the guys that live, breathe the Oscars, they know who the favorites are, right? There are whole websites, whole tons of information, not the standard data analytics that we're used to, but tons of useful, profitable information that nobody was taking advantage of. So I saw a little opportunity for myself, and I jumped right in.
All right, what's the last good movie you've seen? Give me a recommendation.
Oh, that's a tough one. If you like action movies, a little older, I loved Monkey Man. I thought that was a great one. People love John Wick. They talk about that. I thought that was a fantastic movie. That's the first one that jumps off my head. The Sound of Metal is another fantastic movie from a couple Oscar seasons ago that I love. One of my favorites of all time.
Monkey. I didn't even hear him. I thought he was talking about the Planet of the Apes movie that was in my TikTok that looked awesome. I didn't know what Monkey Man was.
So the DMV and the Nats, Rizzo's done a hell of a job. I would say that team is a little ahead of schedule, specifically coming off a World Series where they just unloaded everybody and now have kind of quickly built back into next year. I think there's going to be a lot of promise for a young team that has a lot of good prospects. Baseball betting, though, why don't we start there? Because you've got a bunch of baseball bets today. Your approach, your process when it comes to everyday attacking baseball.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I'm really invested in player props, obviously, but the hitter props market has really been my specialty. And today, I'm going to be talking about a total bases prop and a hits, runs, RBIs prop. And you kind of teed me up pretty well to start out with James Wood, who I'll be playing for over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs today. And the reason I wanted to just go right into the play is because I think the analysis is kind of important to how we break these down, right? Because James Wood is a guy that's coming in with some good recent form. He's over this number in 4 of his last 5 coming in. He's hitting over .330 over his last 10 games. He's playing very good baseball right now. But I think a lot of people, when they get to the actual, you know, the bet screen, they see total bases, hits, runs, RBIs. Which one of these should I choose? A guy like James Wood, for me, perfectly profiles for a hits, runs, RBIs play over a total bases play for multiple reasons. One, the eye has been very good. He's walked in over 4 of his last 5 games. For a rookie, this guy sees the plate fantastically. So that hurts you a lot for total bases. A guy like Juan Soto, he's one of the best hitters in the league. He gets walked 3 times a game. It's very hard to win those total bases props. But when you switch up the markets, when you go hits, runs, RBIs, you're not just depending on one player. It's the whole cluster. It's multiple guys. Who's around him in the lineup? A guy like CJ Abrams, another guy who crushes right-handed pitching. And the pitcher in this one is a great matchup. Frankie Montas, this season, over 500 slugging against left-handed hitters, 70 points worse on the batting average against lefties versus righties. So for me, I like James Wood, but I also like CJ Abrams. I also like Keibert Ruiz, who's been absolutely killing it since the All-Star break. There's a bunch of guys in this lineup I like. So going with the hits, runs, RBIs, I think is the ideal pick for a guy like James Wood, who has a great support system around him, guys that can drive him in if he maybe walks and doesn't do it himself.
Love that. Love that. Here's what I would say about James Wood. Does he have a pulse? Like, he is so laid, but when I've watched him a few times, am I wrong? He's so laid back that you almost want to shake him. You don't know, he's so young and composed.
I hate the name that it reminds me of. You guys aren't going to like it. Anthony Rendon, all of his years in Washington, D.C. He was great in D.C., okay? Angels, obviously, I'm sorry, not so much up there. But the guy truly never looked like he could care less about baseball, and he was still fantastic, right? He was one of the reasons we won the World Series that year. James Wood, I'm going to say he's a little bit more passionate about baseball than that. I was actually there at his debut game, and it was exactly what you said. He didn't show an ounce of emotions. That was our only sold-out game of the season, standing ovation, and not a smile or anything. So he's locked in. He's a stone-cold killer, and I'm excited for him to cash our ticket today.
Yeah, he is, like Dustin said, when Stewart walked up to the desk at the D, the dude's like 6'4", 6'5", so bigger than he expected. James Wood has very much monster vibes as well. That is a big dude. And Dustin, he was talking about Rendon. To be fair, Rendon literally admitted he does not care about baseball.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, it's a paycheck. I don't care.
But he was also across the board early in his career, like minimum 275, 15 homers, 15 RBI, oh, like 85, awesome. 85. Like he just contributed everywhere, played second and third. Yeah. And a calming presence for that lineup. Stuart, I have a question with the batter props because I struggle to dive into this market consistently. I mostly just go after players who crush left-handed pitching when the matchup is right. However, the books know when those guys have a good matchup and the numbers are juiced severely. How much of a role does past success against a current pitcher? How much role is the analytics of the projections? Like, what is your balancing act with the information you're looking at and locking in a play on a hitter? Because there are a lot of options, and to me, it's very difficult.
That's a great question. For me personally, it's different for everyone. Batter versus pitcher means almost nothing to me.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, unless we have a sample size of maybe 30, 40 at-bats, a lot of it's very random, right? So the number one thing that I use to stand out is pitch splits. How is a batter doing versus individual pitches from a player? Frankie Montas, for example, going up against James Wood, he heavily relies on the sinker, the cutter, and the splitter. James Wood does not have a single hit against a slider this season, but that's not something he has to worry about because he has an over 330 batting average against the cutter and over a 285 batting average against the sinker. So a pitch like the slider, I would never want to target James Wood against a slider heavy pitcher, right? But that's not the case here at all. It's a guy that's really relying on the cutters, the sinkers, and I think that's something that James Wood has had much more success against, and I think it means way more than, you know, four or five past at bats a guy's had against a pitcher.
This is a great question and a great answer. And stick around. You've earned another segment because we have more bets on the other side with Stewart. I will say this, just an update. Hopefully Stewart was listening to the beginning of Sharp Money because we gave out France. And again, this is a wood desk. Well, I'm knocking it. But France right now up 1-0 on Argentina at the Olympics. Men's soccer. Big guy Germany, where you at?
Under a minute to go, we're up 14 with Germany over France.
And you laid what?
3.5.
Ooh, we're back, baby. And we're cooking. We are cooking.
Officially right. Back.
We are officially back. And it does, I think you have, yeah, it looks like, do you have an Olympic play on the other side as well, Stuart?
I do. I got one for us, yep.
Okay, when we come back, Stuart's got another hitter prop in Major League Baseball. He's got a play from France, And then at the top of the hour, of course, Mike Somich is going to join. If you want to get into some horse racing on a Friday, we've got a couple of stakes races over at Saratoga. So Somich is going to join coming up in just a bit, but we continue with professional bettor Stuart Durst next here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, check out VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles. You get your odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. And Steve Mackinnon. All right, he's got his he's our guy with the numbers, kind of hangs out in his basement and just grinds and computes, simulates. Mackinnon with the baseball postseason and Major League Baseball. Go check it out, VSiN.com. All right, we welcome you back. Sharp Money, back from a little break. We say hi, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. And it looks like Somich is giving you some props because Somich is joining us coming up in about 14 minutes. And we've got stakes races at Saratoga. Put it on the board. He said, big guy, you just cashed with Germany in basketball. It's a good job by you.
You cashed with France, so we're 2-0.
Wait, hold on. I don't think that game's ended yet, so you need to take it easy.
He sent the flag.
France is up 2-0. If this is a harbinger, if this is indicative of Sharp Money's NFL season and college football season, we're not going to have a job.
No.
Because we're both going to Costa Rica. You understand what I'm saying? Culo.
Yeah, that'll be the next flag we're waving in the group chat.
Actually, I'm going to Brazil for a lot of reasons.
Could you want to check out that Eagles game to start the year?
I just like Brazil.
Oh, okay.
All right. Stuart is here, our buddy Stuart Durst, Monotone Football on Twitter. Professional handicapper. The kid's one of the sharpest around. You can tell. It's not just he doesn't come on and say, I like James Wood over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI. He gives you a reason why. So we'll get to another baseball play. But a little birdie just told me. And now you might be able to tell what I'm about to tell you by the flow. But it does appear, and I think most people across the country have heard of the sphere by now. You know, that orb that is actually quite impressive as far as an engineering feat in Vegas. It just happens that it was built by James Dolan's company, which is kind of, that's not great, but whatever. Dolan built the sphere in Vegas. You two, snooze fest, kicked it off. Who cares? Because the Dead and Company are at the sphere, and Durst is going, I believe, tonight to see Dead and Co. at the sphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the only reason the hair had to stay on. You know, I'm doing radio. I'm doing podcast. You know, you'd think I'd be a little bit more clean cut. But when you're going to Dead & Company, I what am I going to do? Look like an insurance salesman? That last time I came on the show, you guys showed one of my old pictures. I got the exact same comment. Are you going for a job interview? What happened to you? So, well, you know, that would be the absolute wrong move for Vegas. You got to let it flow one more time. So super excited for the sphere, Dead & Co. It's going to be a great time.
But are you a deadhead?
Yes, of course.
Okay, you are.
Yep.
A 23-year-old deadhead?
Yep. There's the insurance salesman picture right there. But yeah, no. but yeah, you can give a lot of credit to my mom for that one. You know, music tastes a little bit generational right here. But
what year were you born?
2001.
So you were 6 when Jerry Garcia died.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'd like to see it carry on the tradition. And Dustin brought a hacky sack for you, so don't forget to take that with you on the way out.
I forgot while you were on vacation, someone said, when are you guys coming back? He tweeted me. He said, I miss you and the hacky sack guy. He called you hacky sack guy, and I thought that was a great way to describe you.
It's just completely disrespectful, but I'll take it. Let's get back to the baseball. Our buddy Stuart Durst. Royce Lewis. Over 1.5 total bases tonight.
Yep, we're getting that at plus money right now, plus 105. And to be honest, that honestly shocked me. I think Royce Lewis is one of the guys that suffers from, like, small town syndrome more than anyone else in the league. If this guy was on the Yankees, he'd be, like, minus 145 for 2 total bases every single time. He's coming in with some good momentum. He's over this number in 7 of his last 8 home games. On the season, he's had a great year, 278. But when he goes home, he's hitting 395 at home, over a 100-point boost so far. Clearly likes, you know, his own house, his own routine, all that stuff. So we're back home. We've got a great matchup today. And really one of the biggest things I look at, I just talked about hits, runs, RBIs, right? I talked about the surrounding lineup. Who else can help you, right? For me, total bases is a lot different. I'm looking at barrel rate. I'm looking at hard hit rate. I'm looking at average exit velocity. I want guys that absolutely demolish the baseball, right? Because with the total bases prop, you're not counting on anyone else on your team, right? It's just up to you. And Royce Lewis, man, over the last 10 days, obviously not a shock to anyone in the world, but top 10 in average exit velocity, top 10 in hard hit rate, and top 5 in barrel rate coming in. And he gets a good matchup right here against a White Sox team that has been absolutely brutal, throwing out a guy that's only thrown 2 innings on the season. Those 2 innings did not go well. But when you look back to last year, he struggled even more. He was a guy that had over 285 expected batting average, over 500 expected slugging on the season. And I just talked about pitch splits a minute ago, right? I talked about a guy like James Wood who absolutely sucks against the slider. He's young, maybe he'll get better, but at the moment, no hits against the slider. Well, this is a lot different, right? Because we're going up against a guy who's throwing his slider 46% of the time. It's his number one pitch in his arsenal. And dating back to last season, Lewis is hitting over 333 against the slider, slugging over 550. Those are absolutely dominant numbers. So not only do we have a guy that has great recent form, he's crushing the ball right now, he's fantastic fantastic at home. We also get the advantage of one of his best pitches, right? Arguably his best pitch, the slider, is the one that the opposing pitcher relies on over 46% of the time. So love the matchup here for Lewis. Truly, I think, one of the most underrated players in the league, and very surprised we're getting a plus money price tag.
Okay, it's great stuff, and I have a question about this, because you lay out all these great numbers for him, James Wood, why you like them, and these specific bets. The home run props obviously are the thing that is sexier in these batter prop markets. You can get a big plus price on them. I don't have the temperament to like go 0-4 on four 5-1 shots on a given night. And
then, no, he's very compulsive. Yeah, he's compulsive in every aspect of his life.
So my question would be, what does Stuart Durst need to see in a potential player to back them on a home run prop?
That's a good question. I think for me, really, it's kind of what I was just going over with total bases. Generally, I rarely play the total bases unless we're getting a good plus money price tag. I think it's a lot of those same variables, whether it's a barrel rate, an exit velocity. Me personally, I like Lewis for, I like Buxton for home run. I like a lot of the guys in the lineup, but I think that's the problem is when you're going through this data so closely, so many guys pop out. But on any given night, you know, we're not getting 100 home runs a night, right? We're getting a couple, right? We're getting 16, 17 to 25, depending on the slate. So for me, I just don't think that's the best way to attack the MLB market, to be honest. I like a long shot as much as the next guy, but for me, my process is completely focused on straight bets or around, you know, even money parlays, stuff like that. I'm really never looking to be the guy that hits the 10 billion to one parlay and then chases it for the rest of his life. I do responsible three-leg round robins.
Oof.
I think that's, if you want to play home runs, I think the three-leg round robin is the way to go. Huh. I think that keeps you in the game a lot longer because you can still cash on two or three home runs and you still get a very nice payout if you do go for 3-for-3. So that would be my recommendation.
For the common better, explain the round robin, Stuart.
Of course, yeah. So what happens is you're taking three separate bets, right? And instead of a standard parlay, right, where you're getting paid out just by all of them combined, you can get a reduced payout if two of those guys hit, and you can get, obviously, an even better payout if three of them hit. One of three, you're going home with nothing, but obviously a little bit better when you're in a high-variance market. For me, round robins are a little bit of a controversial thing in the gambling community, but I think it's a great way to take advantage of these high-variance markets that you're not really expecting to, you know, hit these five, six, seven-leg parlays on. It reduces the risk a little bit, and it gives you more of an opportunity to cash out and keep your bankroll flowing.
And it's smart.
Beautiful.
Because anyone who's ever placed a parlay and lost knows your parlays always lose by one. It could be eight legs, it could be three legs, it could be 20
That's
legs.
True.
It's always one leg that messes it up. And it's not always just the last one. It could be one in the middle or the beginning.
Do I owe you an apology for calling you compulsive, or you agree?
No. My therapist has like designated that or diagnosed me with compulsion issues.
Like, if we could see your computer right now, the tabs would prove compulsion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, depends on if it's the which tab
we're talking about. We'll leave it.
We have a work section and we have a personal section.
I know, but we're also trying to stay employed, so we'll just leave that alone. I know nothing about your next bet, Stuart. South Sudan, run with it.
Yep, we're going Carlick Jones, South Sudan's best player. We're going under 16.5 points. I know if you just look at the box score, you'd think, why would I do this? 18 and 19 points over his last two games. He's arguably the best player on a team that nobody even knew existed before a couple weeks ago, right? But it's one of those things where I think fading the hot hand, fading the recent form is the move right here, because Serbia, the way they play is completely different to each of these last two matchups. Against the USA, we're getting one-on-one coverage all day long. If you've watched any of Serbia's games, even for just a second, they absolutely blitz opposing ball handlers. They are all over you. They want the ball out of your hands as soon as possible, and no three-second rule in the paint. It makes it very hard for you to get those drives into the paint. So for me, Carlick Jones is a great passer. He's a great distributor, and he's a guy that really struggles to shoot the three. So if I were to bet anyone to beat the Serbia team from the point guard position, it would be someone that absolutely launches threes that can beat that blitz, right? Because that's really the best way to get past it unless you're ungodly skilled. They're sending two guys at you. You can either shoot it or you can pass it up. And he's only taken, I believe, 8 threes so far in the Olympics total, despite playing 36 and 38 minutes in those games. We got a 15-point spread right here. I think there's a lot of blowout potential. I don't think he plays his normal 36 minutes. I think it's a good reason to fade the box score watchers here.
Carlick Jones, under 16.5 points. You will not hear a better Serbia-South Sudan breakdown across this network or any other network the rest of the day. Stuart, enjoy the concert. Samich is coming back here on Sharp Money.